Today is Sunday, January 21st, 2018, and this...
Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas. The lights are bright, the stage is set, and it is showtime.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 632.
Las Vegas, the honor!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! Do you think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Excited to talk about Las Vegas, even though I still haven't recovered from the beatdown that we took a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
When will it end?
I don't know.
When will I feel better about things?
I don't know.
I did take a cursory glance at...
some dates?
At some rates, at least, because yeah. There was a comment about Minneapolis airfare being relatively cheap. And I went, yeah, that is pretty cheap. And then I just moved on.
This is not like you. I'm a little concerned.
We'll get there. It just takes time.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I always love to go, but I'm not in a place right now where I'm like, oh my God, I have to get out of here. I have to go.
That'll kick in at some point.
It will.
Oh, well, we will keep our listeners apprised of our recovery. This is, for me, this is one of the longer recovery times of not wanting to go. Usually it's within a couple weeks and we're looking at a month now almost. So
yeah.
Oh, well,
some
we'll get there.
Some sort of record.
Yeah.
You haven't even been having any alcohol. I had some wine.
And it's not even like it's been like, oh, I want to, but I shouldn't because I just don't feel like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've had a couple here and there, but not like,
Not like shit-face drunk?
No.
Not like vimph drunk?
I'm hoping that is something that does not happen again.
Yeah, me too. All right. Before we jump into some news, we want to thank some folks for supporting this podcast, namely our Patreon patrons. They support this show on a monthly basis, and some of them, some of the fine folks, will be listed as follows. Jeffrey Becker, Lorien, would you say Lorien or Lorien? Lorien?
Lorien.
I'm bad at names. Lorien Cox, John B., No Deuces, Melissa Grove, Vince Scarlotta, Martine Van Riet, Bernard and Cecilia Perez. Thank you to all of these folks, as well as our other Patreon patrons.
We still have some Shroop Waffle shots that we need to do in honor of Martine.
Oh, yeah, I know. We'll have to do that. That was a lovely gift, and we just haven't.
Oh, no, he gave us cookies once.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was.
Then I found some shots when I was at Total Wine.
So we're going to do those in his honor?
Yes.
I'm down with that.
When
back
our
on
livers
the booze train.
Yeah.
All right. Folks who want to support the show on a monthly basis, get some bonus content. It's our way of saying thank you. I'm actually going to be writing my column this month about trying to recover from a beatdown of this nature and my struggles. All right. Visit patreon.com/500 for details on that. And thank you to all of our contributors. All right. So this first news item this week, I normally wouldn't even discuss, but there was so much misinformation about this. And I know that people have seen different things in the news. And I thought I need to explain some of this.
Are you going to mansplain it?
Yes. This will be. Yes, I might. But apparently it's needed based on some of the things that I read from sources who should know better. Mm-hmm. You may have seen headlines about MGM and Caesars and a takeover, and it's been mischaracterized in several places as a merger or MGM buying Caesars properties.
First of all, it would be way bigger news if that were the case.
Yes.
Like, the headlines would say...
I know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this is... I feel like, oh my God, this is... boring, but I was so annoyed by it this week that I'm like, I have to discuss this or else I'm just going to explode.
Tell me more, Mr. Economics.
And I'm not, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not a great business mind. I don't have any smoke. I don't have any hot takes on stocks, but I can't explain what this means because I read a lot and I follow things, and I know a little bit about it. So anyway, I apologize to anyone who's extremely bored by this. But if you saw headlines or information about MGM Resorts and Caesars this week, and by the way, it's not even happening. The deal got called off. So let me explain this.
Break it down.
MGM Resorts and Caesars Entertainment. Two big resort holders in Las Vegas and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. We know what they are. Mm-hmm. There's your mansplain. they have both in recent years formed real estate investment trusts, better known as REITs, REIT. You can Google it if you want extreme insight into what a REIT is. Essentially, it is a spinoff company that does little more than own property. And it's all done for tax purposes and cash flow and the balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a separate company. And, for example, recently, and I think we may have briefly touched on this.
Yeah.
But didn't go into it in depth.
I remember discussing it briefly.
Yeah, again, because of false headlines. Caesars Entertainment sold Harrah's Las Vegas to its REIT that it had formed, which is called VICI Properties. MGM's is called MGM Growth Properties. For MGM... And they hold properties both in and out of Las Vegas, but it's all these resorts and casinos. MGM's has seven of its properties. I have no idea what goes behind which properties they decide to sell. Again, it's all related to their balance sheet and their bottom line, I suppose. Mm-hmm. The Caesars one called VICI, let's call her Vicky.
All right.
only owns two in Las Vegas, Caesars Palace and Harrah's as of a few weeks ago. So this week... MGM Growth Properties proposed a purchase of Vicky, and the board for Vicky decided, nope, we're not interested in your offer. Go away.
Mm-hmm.
This would not have been a merger. It would not have changed how the casinos are run. It would have simply changed who the landlords are. So if this had gone through, then Caesars Palace would have been paying rent to MGM Growth Properties instead of Vicky. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It wouldn't have become an M Life property. It's boring. It's
nothing. To the general public, nothing would change.
Right. It's all balance sheet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They have long-term leases. So Caesar's Palace, for example, it's probably 30 years with a renewal, an automatic renewal or something. They are locked in to being operated and owned by Caesars Entertainment, unless Caesars Entertainment sells the casino operations, which they could very well do. But... unlikely. So there were false reports all over the place about this being an MGM Caesars merger and that it was going to involve 15 strip properties. I saw that somewhere. I actually unfollowed a longtime Las Vegas business reporter who now has a blog who should know better, who had just, yes, he had this as a merger involving 15 properties. I'm like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. So I can't even read his shit anymore. I shouldn't be surprised because there's been mistakes in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But this was it. I'm like, fuck.
This was the straw.
Yes. So anyway, it would have just, all that would have changed is who these casinos were paying rent to. That's it. Nothing more. No merger. No big changes. That's it. Let's never speak of REITs again.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll have to at some point because maybe there will be another attempted purchase. I don't know. But at least now people who saw bad headlines know that it was not a big deal in terms of the general public and tourists and casino operations. Can I stop being annoyed by this now?
Yes. I was worried this was going to make you cranky.
Yeah, it kind of has, but I'll recover. In other business news, let's talk about Lucky Dragon, which has been in the news a lot lately because the casino and restaurants closed recently. Things are worse than initially reported. Now comes word via the Review Journal and other places that the owner has defaulted on loans for more than 6 months. That's not great for them. So as of right now, the status is the property is going to be put on the foreclosure auction block on February 6th. So there's a chance that somebody might grab a brand new resort at a significant discount. We'll keep an eye on this and see whether or not anybody snaps up Lucky Dragon or what happens with the ownership, but they're way behind on their bills and things are very dire there. All right. So that means that they were only able to pay back their loans for like 5 or 6 months of operations.
Ouch.
Yeah. Not great. Lucky Dragon will not be the hotel, apparently, that Virgin Hotels is going to buy in Las Vegas or is likely to buy. We discussed this maybe a month ago, that there were reports that Virgin Hotels was in negotiations to purchase a Las Vegas hotel and casino. Lots of speculation. Maybe it was Hooters. Maybe it was Lucky Dragon. Turns out it is neither of those. The Review Journal reports that the existing hotel and casino that Richard Branson's company is in negotiations with is Hard Rock Hotel. I have mixed feelings about this.
I do too.
Because I really like the Virgin brand. I like staying at Virgin Hotels in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But this means no more Hard Rock, mm-hmm. most likely. The report is that by the end of 2019, if this purchase goes through, they'll rebrand it as Virgin's.
Oh, shit. And what about the Lucky's Diner Gambler's Special? Is that going away?
Las Vegas Advisor is on high alert for that. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even considered that. I don't know. When a purchase like this happens, if indeed it does, a lot of things change, especially if they're changing the entire theme of the place. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they would it be just a very generic casino with no sort of memorabilia? I mean, you're not going to have pictures of virgins on the wall. Pictures of Richard Branson and his airplanes and mm-hmm. diving out of... He doesn't need to do all kinds of stunts and shit. Isn't he a big adventure guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have... Who wants to see that, though? I suppose there is always an off chance that they would continue licensing the Hard Rock name and stuff, but I don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. I don't see them going one way with the hotels and another way with the casino, but you never know. So if you're really into the Hard Rock and the memorabilia and all the rock stuff, the rock theme that they have going on, you might want to check that out in the next year or so. If this purchase goes through, like I said, the plans would be to rebrand by the end of 2019. So there you have it. And we'll see. I don't know what this all means. As we discussed in the past, Virgin Hotels typically have a very specific type of room layout. Mm-hmm. So it'd be a major renovation of the hotel.
I'm kind of bummed about this because I feel like the Hard Rock has consistently been doing stuff to improve itself.
And it's an interesting property, even though we rarely make it over there.
And so maybe a lot of people are like us and they don't go over there and they're not making enough money. But I would rather see Virgin take something that is currently shitty and make it good.
I agree.
Rather than take something that is not shitty.
I agree. I'm with you on this one. So yeah, a little bummed
out
about
this. I'm saying shit a lot.
I wonder if there is also a... I suppose there is a long shot chance that at some point Hard Rock would re-enter the market elsewhere in Las Vegas. That's because there are other Hard Rock casinos and hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this one that's on the verge of perhaps being sold is not owned by the same company as all the other Hard Rock resorts, which is part of the reason. I'm surprised they didn't buy it, quite honestly, the parent company. But so there is always a chance that Hard Rock could re-enter the market. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
That would maybe on the Strip, that would not be a bad thing if we saw that. But time will tell. We'll keep an eye on this and see if the sale actually goes through. It sounds like it's pretty likely. And there you have it. That's what's going on with Hard Rock. Okay.
All right. This might take a detour into Cranky Town again.
The show, you said, I'm really worried you're going to get cranky during the show. I'm like, no, if we had recorded last night, I was in kind of a bad mood, and that's why I didn't want to record last night. But today I was pretty confident. No, I'm going to be fine. And now as we're going through these, I am getting increasingly surly.
Oh, no.
New York, New York has a roller coaster. It's been there since the hotel opened.
Mm-hmm. I've ridden it twice.
I've ridden it once. And they're making a change there. They're adding a feature to the roller coaster, an optional feature. And I have to ask, I've been through this whole fucking rant many times on this show. Specifically when I talked about what a flaming pile of cat shit Rocky Horror Picture Show is. That if you need to have people act out the movie during the movie, it's not a very good movie. If you need other forms of entertainment to enhance the basic thing that you're trying to entertain people with, it's shit, right? So, and maybe it's not a problem with the entertainment. Maybe it's a problem with us as a society and our short attention spans and not being able to just enjoy things for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now the goddamn roller coaster at New York, New York, we're not satisfied just having a roller coaster that is full of thrills,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going up and down hills quickly and it's, you know what a roller coaster, I'm mansplaining again.
You know
a roller coaster. Let me What's explain a roller coaster. You get in this little, car. And by the way, I have an issue with the term mansplaining because you've mansplained things to me if we're going to use that definition plenty of times.
Oh yeah, I've lady-splained all over
it's,
the place.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I get the condescending nature of a man telling a woman something that she already knows.
But there are plenty of women out there who are condescending and tell people shit, too.
Who start their sentences with actually on a regular basis. Anyway, but I'm going to continue to do that in this show because, you know. So anyway, New York, New York, if you're not satisfied with just the thrills of a fucking roller coaster, now they have a virtual reality option for an additional $5.
Oh, good.
So the way this works is you for in $20 instead of 15, you strap on this headset.
Where?
On your head.
Okay.
So you're not seeing thus headset. See, a headset. yeah, you put a headset on, and everything you see then is this video experience. Let's say immersive, because that word is going to be coming up in about 5 minutes a lot of times. So instead of your normal views of the roller coaster and seeing, oh my God, we're about to go down a big hill, it's going to be scary as shit. Instead, you're seeing this whole virtual movie playing where you're chasing aliens that have escaped from a lab, a research facility.
What?
That's the storyline here.
What?
Yeah, there's a...
What?
I know.
This is stupid.
I'm not a fan either. Because if... I've said before, I'm moderately interested in the virtual reality thing in and of itself. If you go into a building, but to have to add it to a roller coaster, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I could see like you're standing still and your virtual reality is a roller coaster.
Or you're walking around a big empty warehouse that with the virtual reality, it's no longer an empty warehouse. It's now a research facility with aliens that have escaped. I get that.
Isn't the roller coaster enough?
Exactly. Thank you for making my point. Okay, so anyway, $20 for that. It's normally $15 to ride the New York roller coaster. It starts on February 7th, if you're so inclined. If this sounds appealing to you, and by all means, check it out and call us and tell us. You know what? It's really
cool. Because we're sure as hell not doing it.
It's awesome. Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
But if somebody does it, I want to hear all about it.
I'd love a report, and we won't rip on you for it. I actually would respect you for doing this.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to, and so that, you know, we understand it better. And maybe it's really cool, but... Can't you just enjoy the fucking roller coaster?
Right. Sometimes I wish we lived in a simpler time.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of aliens and things like that, there's a new entertainment complex that was announced this week. It's going to be located off strip near Palace Station. This is a press release that made my head explode. Or would have if that's what things did. But anyway. Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, no.
However, there was an article in Vegas 7 that made me feel a little bit better about it. And I'll explain. It's called Area 15. It's kind of a play on Area 51. Thus, the alien tie-in that I just mentioned. It's a mall. It's a shopping mall.
That's which you love.
What it is.
Your favorite.
But it's themed for people who like... It's themed for sci-fi and comic book nerds and people who like stuff like that. Now, the press release is incredibly annoying. Chock full of... The word immersive appears... 8 times in the press release. But I read an article in Vegas 7 about it where they talked to one of the developers. And it was so nice and refreshing to see him say, it's just a mall. But it's a mall for people who like cool stuff.
There you go.
There you go. Put that in the press release.
Right.
That's all you need. That's describe it that way. But no, the fucking PR idiots had to get their hands on it.
And you're going to
read it to
us.
Here's what they said, in part. This is just a very brief passage. A wholly reimagined world weaving together immersive experiences, themed events, art installations, restaurants, bars, and nightlife. The complex will appeal to a variety of clientele, including gamers, Comic-Con and sci-fi enthusiasts, artists, music and festival lovers, and anyone simply looking for an immersive and unique experience. They're describing a shopping mall. And that's how they're describing it. Oh, my God.
Do you need a beer?
I might. Today might be the day I bring... I might jump back on.
That you stop reconditioning your liver?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. So anyway, if you're looking for a mall that's immersive... Now, I'm not even 100% certain this is going to happen. It probably will. It sounds like they've got some people behind it who know what they're doing. But this isn't scheduled to open until mid-2019, and I get the feeling that the reason they released all this information and are doing this big publicity push is in order to line up investors and or tenants. We've seen this before with different attractions in Las Vegas. For example, remember the time that the people who were putting up that big the big Ferris wheel across Mandalay Bay showed off their part?
Their part,
and that never happened. They wanted everybody to be, this is real. We've got a big part.
Remember the failure pillars?
Not only do I remember them, I can still see them whenever we go to Las Vegas. So I don't know. I don't think that this is going to be... I think this will open. I don't know if it'll be a failure or not.
I hope not.
Yeah.
The second version, the stripped-down version, sounds okay.
I'd probably go see this just to see what the hell it is. They've got a lot of art, like art installations, and it's... I saw they have some renderings. It's like, oh, there's all kinds of sci-fi shit, and it looks kind of crazy. But when you strip all that away, it's a shopping mall. And I'm really glad to see the developer said that in an interview. I would just wish that they would have said that in the press release.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we got a shopping mall. It's going to be really cool. It's for people who like cool stuff like music and sci-fi. They could have said it that way with all this fucking bullshit immersive nonsense.
Can we call that the title of the show?
Immersive nonsense.
Fucking bullshit immersive nonsense.
I think just immersive nonsense. This is the most immersive podcast you're going to listen to this week.
Mm-hmm. It'll be like a bath for your soul.
Yeah, okay.
When I think immersive, I think of those immersion tanks. You know, like those...
Yeah, are those still a thing?
I don't think so.
Where you are underwater and you're supposed to like...
Feel like you're in the womb or some shit?
Yeah.
Man, I'm really sweary today.
That's okay.
Yeah. We're earning our explicit tag again.
Finally, there's a new show at Westgate opening on February 14th, Valentine's Day. You can celebrate your love with a show from Clint Holmes and Earl Turner.
Ah.
I know. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? Two longtime Las Vegas performers have paired up for a new show called Soundtrack. Your songs, our stories, the show. They have an 8-piece live band, because an 8-piece dead band would be very boring. They are performing songs by people including Michael Jackson, Prince, Stevie Wonder, Bruno Mars, Blake Shelton, Bill Withers, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., and Irving Berlin. If there were an 8-piece dead band, what band would you like it to be?
No.
No? I can name a couple. So this will be...
Then please do.
Let's not get into that. Two very well-known, long-time Las Vegas performers, especially Clint Holmes. He had a show at Harrah's for years and years. Earl Turner's kicked around in different venues for a long time. So they're going to be singing their songs, telling some stories, making you laugh.
Can I start getting picky about who covers Prince?
Very much so.
Because it feels like every musician coming through the Twin Cities has to pay respects. And
sometimes, I'm okay. I kind of get that.
I get that, but sometimes the best way to pay respect is not to try and sing a Prince song.
For example?
Oh.
You don't need Father John Misty kicking a version of Kiss.
Thank you. Yes.
I don't know if he's ever performed that. I bet he's done something poorly.
Oh.
All right. $48 and up plus taxes and fees. The show is going to be Thursdays through Saturdays at 7 p.m. You can check out the Westgate Las Vegas website. I have a feeling that if you sit through a timeshare presentation, you might be able to get tickets for free. That's yeah. How things work over there at Westgate.
Yeah. They have a few timeshare people wandering around the property.
They do. So right now over at Westgate, we've got Clint Holmes and Earl Turner.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Dirk Arthur doing his non-tiger-based magic show.
Mm-hmm.
And then the long-running show, surprisingly long-running show over there, Westgate, is Sexy with multiple X's.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be doing well. So show people a little bit of titty, and you can stick around for as long as you want in Las Vegas.
Speaking of titties.
Oh, yeah. All right. I like where this is going.
There's a book we're both reading. It's a biography of Prince. Vanity 6 is named for the number of boobs in the band.
Yeah, I knew that. Yep, it's true. Do you have an issue with that?
No, I just think it's amusing.
It's such a very Prince thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're doing something that we do every year around this time. It's not predictions. We're not making predictions. We're not saying we think this is going to happen. We're saying this is what we wish would happen. These are our Las Vegas wishes. I should feel like I should have theme music for this.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas wishes. I don't know what it would sound like. Maybe for next year we'll put together a thing.
Something very, very soft and soothing, like a piano solo or something.
I'll start learning piano so I can do that for you. So, first we're going to recap last year's wishes, and we're going to find out how we did. And one of us did quite well, and the other one did not, as far as our wishes coming true. Oh, you know what I could use for wishes coming true?
I'm aware of that sound clip.
Just because we don't have another theme, we're just going to...
I am Siegfried. And I'm Roy. Our white lions and white tigers join us in wishing you a magical holiday season. And a special New Year's with all your dreams coming true.
There we go. Some of your dreams came true. None of mine did. Mm. All right. So 2017, here's what we wished for, and here's how we did. You want to go through yours first, since you did well?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll start with the one that didn't occur. It was the Duran Duran residency.
That did not happen. I wish
However,
it had.
They did play in Vegas.
They did New Year's Eve. Well, New Year's Eve weekend.
Yeah, one day after we left.
I know. We missed it. Wah, wah. There is still a chance of this. John Taylor has said multiple times he wants to do a Las Vegas run. So
yes, please.
We'll see. Your other two?
My other two. Resorts World, shit or get off the pot. Mm-hmm. I want to see something happen. I want to see some cranes. I want to see some movement.
We've got four cranes up, so I think that this. I think you have a winner here. It's not moving along at the most rapid speed, but things are ramping up, and we're going to see a lot of construction this year.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations. One of your wishes has indeed come true.
Yay.
And your other wish that has come true?
I want to see the hockey team do well.
I know. You nailed this one. When I listened back to this and you said, you know, I want them to exceed expectations. I want it to be a thing that people are excited about doing when they come to town, going to see the hockey team play. Yeah, you got it.
Yay.
That has become a thing.
I honestly do not remember saying this.
I never remember any of my wishes until I looked
them up. But I'm pleased. Yeah.
So
I'm pleased for the hockey team. I'm not pleased for me being right.
I know.
Right.
They're going to make the playoffs. They actually can make a run at it. It's amazing.
It's cool.
Yep. All right, my shitty wishes. No, they weren't shitty wishes. They just didn't happen. One of them was a residency from Pink.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that will happen at some point. I think we're just a few years away from it.
Yeah.
We got Gaga, though, so I'll take that.
Uh-huh.
Meaningful fee backlash. Oh. What I meant by this is that there would be something that would happen that would have the resort companies rethinking their fee structures, whether it's resort fees or parking fees or all of the above.
Nope, that has not happened. They're carrying on.
They are. And finally, I wanted to see Boyd Gaming do a refresh of Main Street Station in Fremont like they've done at the Cal. That has not yet happened. I think this could at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, they have not done major renovations there. They have, I think, updated some of their rooms, but not necessarily the full-scale renovation like they did at that other property. So I'm 0-3 in my wishes.
And then you told me that, and I felt pressure to be more... something with mine, but I just ended up throwing some stuff together and we'll see.
Yeah, I had a really hard time this year. Maybe it's because of the frame of mind I'm in, not, you know,
right.
Super gung-ho about Las Vegas right now. But, well, that's not true. I still love it. I just don't want to be there right now. But I came up with three and you came up with at least three.
I came up with at least three. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to do one first? We'll alternate on this.
Okay. So this probably follows from your Boyd refreshes it. Main Street Station one from last year.
Okay.
I would like to see Binion's redo their hotel rooms and reopen.
I had that thought. Yes, I had that thought as far as doing that for one
How
of them,
likely it is, I don't know. But I know. I'd like to see it.
Oh, they keep saying that they're working on it, but I don't really think.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, that would be wonderful.
Because I feel like, the Cal's doing a refresh. Four Queens is doing a refresh.
At least of its rooms, yeah.
Yeah, so...
we've heard rumblings that El Cortez is going to be that thing I mentioned last week about the mayor. I don't know if this is it or not, but we got an email from a listener, and I apologize. I don't have it in front of me, and I don't have his name in front of me. But we heard from a listener who said that when he was there over Christmas, he learned from a chatty bellman.
Oh, I thought you said this on last week's show.
I did not. No, we just talked about the mayor's
The
mayor's statement that she thinks El Cortez is going to be doing something big. Mm-hmm. But apparently...
I confuse our everyday conversations
I know, we
with
actually
the show.
Spoke between shows this time. Apparently they have two companies that they have had renovate rooms on the first and second floor of the tower or maybe they're still working on it. But anyway, based on those renovations, they're going to choose one of the, designs and have the entire tower or more of the tower rooms done in that style. Kind of like, you know, they were going to do that with those design rooms.
Yeah.
And they ended up not. They have a handful of design suites, but besides saying one of them was a winner, can't remember which one, they never really redesigned any of their other suites in that style. So hopefully this does occur and that they do a nice remodel of the tower rooms. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Anyway, one of my wishes. Were you done with the Binion's one?
Yeah. Okay. I feel like I wasted a wish there, but that's okay.
I don't think you did.
Yeah.
That's a good wish.
Yeah.
I want to see something with I'm kind of down on Binion's because
the
poker room is closed. It's just like a lot of the stuff that's kind of cool and historical, there's not a lot going on over there, and it bums me out. And
it's starting to get kind of low rent. Like, they've got the thing in the back with the...
T-shirts and shit.
The Casino Royale offshoot of cheap T-shirts and sweatshirts.
I feel like they could, they could maintain the history and the cool look of the place and all that.
Yeah.
Yet still
and still do something
interesting and fun and new.
Yeah.
But no, they haven't done that. All right. My first Vegas wish for 2018 is I want Park MGM to have something that makes me want to spend time there.
I almost did that.
Yeah. Because right now, as we mentioned a week or two ago, when we walked through there, we're kind of like, man, I don't know about these renovations. I don't, but I'm trying not to judge it fully on that until the renovations are done. So right now, I'm just, I hope that there's something. Maybe it'll, maybe Eataly will be so great that it'll be a place I have to go every time.
Yeah.
I want something
to draw you there.
To draw me there.
And
that would make me happy. But right now, I don't know. Yeah. I don't see it.
They've got some good residencies coming, but I'm not going to spend time there because of a residency. You know,
no, I'd go there and see the show and then move on.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my number one for this week.
Yeah.
What do you have for your next one?
Let's see. I want somebody to buy Rio and restore it to something good.
That's an admirable one as well.
Because Palms is going through some
stuff. If you
stuff.
Believe what you read, MGM Resorts just about bought it this week.
But it's like, it's just neglected and it's gone downhill and I don't really spend a lot of time there because of that. But if it were to be interesting,
yes,
I might make my way over there on occasion.
I like that one as well. I like, that's one of the things with my wishes. I was like, I want to keep it so it's positive things. I want to have things to look forward to. Not like, oh, I hope that we, there were some things where I could have gone down the road of, can we just be done with new Cirque shows and let them continue what they're doing? And do we really need another Cirque show at Luxor?
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, that's, I don't really care.
I almost
that much
went down the road of bitching about drink tickets.
Yeah. But I decided, no, we're going to keep this on the up.
Oh, I'm glad we both subconsciously did that.
I've got enough things in my life that are negative. I need to. All right. Anyway, number two, another hotel resort development thing. The formerly named Fontainebleau, now referred to, I believe, temporarily as Project Blue. I would like to see completion work significantly underway. And
I'm on board with this.
I have been saying for a long time I never thought this would happen, but the fact that it has changed hands and that there's a little money behind it, and now I've heard a rumor from two different sources that former Cosmopolitan CEO John Unwin is leading that project and that he's begun poaching people from Cosmo. And if that's true, then cool. Let's see what,
then it could be fun.
Let's see what they've got. So that's not confirmed by any means, but I've heard it a couple different places. So, so yeah, maybe we'll see again. You know, there could be a big sweeping wish of North Strip, which we've probably had in one way or another for the last 5 years.
No kidding.
But, you know, this one is already at least in progress. So let's see them do something with it. So that's my number two. What do you have for your third? I'm going to help Max. I think his toy is stuck under my chair.
That would be bad. This is on more of a smaller scale. I would like, I know that they have their hands full with the 18 Fremont project, but I would still like to see a new and delicious food option appear in the old Dupars space at Golden Gate.
Oh, I'm with you on that one. I still need to help Max. I can't get this stupid toy out from under my chair.
Okay.
So continue talking about that and how much you miss pancakes at Dupars.
Oh my God. Well, I've come to terms with the fact that Dupars is not coming back and I'm trying to make my peace with that, but I would still like to see something new and delicious there, like perhaps a diner of some sort with breakfast, lunch, and dinner options and all-day breakfast.
There's been an extensive discussion on the Facebook group started by our friend Donnie Mack about the loss of the 24-hour coffee shop in Las Vegas. There aren't that many left, and some of those that are now options aren't that great.
Yeah.
And so, yes, this goes right along with that, and I'm with you.
Yeah. I mean, I know I could walk over to Hash House, but I just haven't. And and I know Downtown Grand is trying some stuff with their
Freedom Beat
thing. But I want something, like, I want something freaking solid, like a go-to, like, all right, I need pancakes at all hours of the day.
I know. Yeah, it was dependable. It was it was awesome. I will say I did enjoy our little trek to Peppermill during our last trip.
Yes,
we hadn't been over there in a long time for food. Well, we hadn't been there at all in a long time. But that's kind of your classic Las Vegas diner. Mm-hmm. It's not the most convenient in terms of location, but with Uber and Lyft, it's easy enough to get over there.
And they had very good pancakes, and they made good leftovers.
I don't know what I had. I think I had a big-ass omelet, and it was delicious. Yeah. So, I hear you, though. I'd like to see that as well. Oops, my number three, I'm looking at the wrong place.
Oops.
Number three, I felt like I needed to do an entertainment thing.
Yeah, I felt like that, and then I just bailed.
I kind of punted a little bit on this one because I'm setting myself up for a win by having it be
vague.
Not vague, but not singular. So I'd like to see a residency from one or more of the following. It's only three. Joan Jett.
Ooh.
I know. Joan Jett at House of Blues would be awesome.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And these are a little all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good one.
Yeah,
although yesterday I saw Huey Lewis bone fishing in Belize on the Outdoor Network. So I guess he's occupied with that.
Bone fishing.
I know. Bone fishing is funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or number three, and this is one that you've brought up as well, Ms. Debbie Gibson. I would like to see one of those three residencies announced or happening in the next year.
That would be cool.
All of them would make me
I would go see any of those.
Yeah. Now, do you have some honorable mentions? Because I think that you want to, or you don't have to if you don't want to, but I could barely come up with three.
Let's see. Downtown to not implement drink tickets or timing systems widely. Downtown Grand has already started this. It sucks. I don't want to see it.
Golden Nugget already has it.
Ugh. I don't want that to become a thing.
Yeah. I agree.
Related, Cosmo to have a more consistent system for delivering bar drinks. Their ticket system is screwy. I don't enjoy it.
So much for the positivity vibe.
Oh, well, here's something positive. Resorts World. Keep on fucking that chicken.
Keep doing what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Where did that phrase come from anyway? Originally.
Was it a newscast?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Golden Knights to make the playoffs and to go deep.
And to go deep?
Go deep into the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Just had to clarify. You know, the show gets sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mostly my fault.
Well, we will be back in 1 year to check on how we did. I'm not super confident, but...
I'm not super confident in mine either, but...
Yeah, we'll revisit this in a year and probably do it all over again.
All right.
Maybe with theme music. Remind me next year if you think of it that I should do some theme music. All right. We have some more trip stuff to discuss this week as well. I think this will probably be it for our trip stuff. We got some restaurant and bar reviews. Before we jump into our restaurant and bar reviews, you had mentioned that you wanted to discuss how, because you tweeted it out or something.
Oh, that.
You have a very well documented
hatred of gin.
Yeah, you have divorced from gin I don't want to say you jumped back on the gin wagon.
No.
But you had some gin.
I consumed some gin.
And it was a straight up shot. Well, it wasn't like a full shot. Like, hey, it was like shots of gin.
No, it was like a quarter baby of a shot. Yeah.
And how did this come about?
We were sitting at Vesper, and we were admiring their displays of bottles.
As you will do at a bar like Vesper.
Yeah. And there was this purple liquor.
Calling to you. You don't see purple liquor very often.
You don't. And so I was like, what is that? They're like, oh, it's gin. And I was like, oh, shit. And then they got it down, and they're like... You want it? Here's a sample. So it was kind of like, I felt rude refusing.
And how was it? You didn't.
It was good.
That tiny little droplet of gin didn't cause you to pass out or anything.
It did not.
You didn't rob any banks or anything.
Right. And then they put some green chartreuse in it and it turned a different color.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
It's a lovely gin. So that's your gin story.
Yes.
Pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting. Yeah. Right. I had to introduce a very small dose of gin into the party, and it worked out okay. But I will not be increasing my doses of gin because that's what gets me in trouble.
Thanks for keeping us up to date on your relationship with gin.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little list there in front of you, in the show notes of things we need to talk about. Would you like to choose one, and I will pull out? This is my half-assed notes for us this week. I just noted the locations that we want to talk about, and then I pulled out the receipt so I could remember what we consumed there.
Let's talk about Momofuku.
All right, Momofuku at Cosmopolitan. We went there for their social hour. You can find out about the social. We went to a couple of places for social hour, and you can find out about them on the Cosmopolitan website. Their hours vary a little bit, so We walked into Momofuku and asked to be seated at the counter because that's where you have to go if you want to take advantage of their social hour. And we were seated next to Las Vegas legend Carrot Top. And he did not, I'm sure there was no recollection of the time we met him, nor would I expect there to be.
No.
He got up and left right after we showed up, too. But he and a lovely lady were there having food. So this is Carrot Top approved.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a couple items. We had three, because we had to reorder because it was so good. Pork belly buns.
Yes.
$7 each. We had one shrimp bun. I had that. It was pretty good.
But not as good as a pork belly
bun. No, the pork belly bun, melt in your mouth, delicious.
Oh my God.
So good.
I don't know what they do, but it's just, yeah, it's like crispy on the outside and tender on the inside.
It just falls apart in your mouth.
Oh.
That's how pork should be prepared.
And do you like when pork falls apart in your mouth?
I do. And including in our final dish, which was pork ramen.
That was okay.
That was a little more expensive. That was $17.
Oh, wow.
I know. I wonder if we got billed wrong for that. Seems a little high for social hour.
Hmm.
Anyway, they probably gave us a, I don't know, who knows. But anyway, that was, overall, I enjoyed it. I liked the pork buns especially.
I would go back just for the pork buns.
I know ramen's a big thing right now. And this is probably the first time I've had legit ramen.
Yeah, same.
It was very, very good.
It was good, but it wasn't like, I think it was, after the pork buns, anything was going to be...
Yeah, and ramen is a weird thing because it's kind of messy and we were sharing it. Yeah. And not that that mattered, but I have since... such a nerd. I have since gone on YouTube watching videos of how to properly consume ramen.
And we did it wrong?
Well, I knew that when we were doing
it. Yeah, me too.
It's messy anyway, but...
Yeah.
So did next we time not we'll slurp prepared. Enough? Yeah, slurping is okay and... Yeah.
How are you supposed to eat it?
Chopsticks with noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And then broth with the spoon, pretty much. It's hard to describe, but... And yeah, slurping up the noodles is acceptable.
How do you feel when people drink wine and they slurp it?
Yeah, I have so many issues with wine. Well, I mean... Part of me thinks when you're doing that, you're just trying to make a spectacle of yourself. Mm-hmm. Look at me. I'm a wine connoisseur. I don't know.
Yeah, but pork belly buns.
That would be the recommended thing if you're going to order one thing there. Get that.
They were really, 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 really good.
So we had all that food. We didn't have any cocktails. So we had all that food for about $50. We left satisfied.
It was
filling. Pretty good. So anyway, anything else about Momofuku at Cosmo and their social hour?
Their chefs will talk to you and ask you how it's going and how you like the food. And
I like sitting at counters like that where you are facing the kitchen and you get to watch them prepare stuff. I find it extreme. It's kind of like I like watching bartenders work too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find that. In fact, when I was watching, what was the guy in front of us making? There was something he was making repeatedly and I'm like, I got to have that next time. But now I can't even remember what it was. Yeah. If I looked at the menu, I'd remember. It was something on their social hour menu, but everything looked
quite
good.
Was it a sandwich?
Yeah, I think it was. Like they have like a crispy chicken sandwich or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's Momofuku. It was a lovely experience, and I would definitely add it to my list of places I would return to at Cosmopolitan. Since we're talking about Cosmo, let's stay with that theme and talk about, if I can find the receipt, we did a happy hour at Rose Rabbit Lie as well. We had not eaten there before. We had just been there for the show and cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
We went with our friend Krishna and had a lovely time.
Yeah.
So I'm told.
Or so, yeah.
What should we say about this?
We had avocado toast and it was delicious.
That's right. I don't have a problem with avocado toast other than that it's a little precious, but it was really good.
It was so good. We had to order it again.
Yeah, we ordered another round of that. It was wonderful.
What else did we have?
That was six
good.
Bucks too. Oh. $6 each. Well spent for the avocado toast. We had, we each had a beverage called an Imperial Punch. I believe there were three of them on the receipt.
Okay.
I don't remember mine. I had consumed a substance or two before going there and I was a little spacey at the time. Let's just say that. You two were having a lovely time though. And I was just like in my own little world.
Mm-hmm.
Imperial Punch for $8. Do you remember anything? Were they delicious fruity drinks, I assume?
Yeah. Yeah, they were good.
I don't even know if I had one of these. I think maybe you had two of them. No, wait.
I think I had two.
You had two and I had one.
Yeah.
So this is just because I think, I don't know, we probably split the bill. I don't know what this is. Anyway.
The other food was good, too.
There was a brioche for $2. I don't remember that. What is a brioche? I don't even know what that is.
It's bread, like toasty bread.
Oh, okay.
I think. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I remember we got some buns.
We had some popovers.
Oh, popovers. $8. Those were good.
And we had some Brussels sprouts for $6.
Yep.
I remember the avocado toast, and that's it.
Yeah. I remember the other food being really good.
It was a good experience. I did have a good time there, despite the fact I was a little spacey.
Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure to get there early, because it's only at the bar, and the seats around the bar fill up pretty fast.
Yes.
So we, like...
Yeah, we were there before they opened, and there was...
Yeah, we, like, punched some millennials out of the way to get to our avocado toast.
I don't remember that part either. Am I going to be arrested for assault next time?
No. Okay. No.
So, yeah, the Brussels sprouts were $6. The popovers were $8. I don't remember how we split this up, if this is the whole bill or if this is part of the bill, so I'm not even going to bother here. Yeah. But in fact, the amount, boy, I wonder what I got charged for this, because on one of the receipts, I'm going to have to check my credit card bill. I usually note how much, including the tip, and I have the two receipts, and I have a different amount on both of them. And one of them is $20 higher than the other one.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, somebody might have got a nice tip off me. That's fine.
Oh, our bartender was really nice.
Yeah, she was good.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
Her name was April, and she said to send people in to tell them to say hi.
Oh, okay. Well, tell April you said that we said hi, or that you say hi. I don't know what the point of that would be. Okay.
She just... I think she was lovely. Yeah. I think she was trying to... get into a routine of having regular people there and seeing more of the same people. Cause, got it. Yeah.
All right. What do you want to talk about next from our little list here?
Oh, let's just go in order. Let's talk about our breakfasts.
All right. Well, this was a breakfast at night thing at the new 24-hour coffee shop at Planet Hollywood.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It has replaced Planet Dailies. It's now called Cafe Hollywood.
I was in dire need of that.
We were there at 7:45 p.m.,
Oh, was that early?
According to the receipt, yes.
Was it Christmas?
Yes, it was. And, you know, Christmas, things were a little busy in terms of restaurants and stuff at night. And Cafe Hollywood was not busy.
No.
There were not many people in there at all. So, yes, you wanted breakfast for dinner. I just wanted a sandwich. So I had the Philly cheesesteak for $16. You had three eggs with other stuff.
I had some pancakes.
For $14.
And, I was trying to make note of their breakfast potatoes.
I don't think these are their regular breakfast potatoes. I think this is their all-day breakfast potatoes.
Which are French fries.
Yes, you had French fries with your
eggs
and pancakes. I got a little
basket of French fries.
That was very odd.
Yeah.
That's one of the fun mysteries of Las Vegas when you order something. Well, probably anywhere. But if you order something with breakfast potatoes, you never really know what you're going to get.
Nope.
I don't know that it was listed as breakfast potatoes on the menu. But since it was a breakfasty food, you would expect probably either hash browns or else diced, you know, sautéed potatoes and fried potatoes. And nope, French fries. How was everything that you had?
It was very good from what I remember.
My Philly cheesesteak was delicious as well. So we got out of there for $32. I would go back there. It was decent.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's up to Planet Daily's quality yet. I'll have to go another time or two to fully judge that. But what I had was decent. They've completely changed the layout in there. They've got like a dessert counter and they've got a bar in there. Some delicious looking crazy ass shakes available that we did not have this time, but I would possibly have in the future. So, yes, it is an option if you're looking for a 24-hour coffee shop. Planet Hollywood, there is one again. Like I said, the experience was good, but I'm holding off complete review until we've been there a couple times. I don't know why. I just feel like I'm not sure yet. The service was kind of a little slow for how slow it was in the place.
Or how sparse. Yeah.
So there you go. Next up, another breakfast option.
Yeah. One thing I've learned is that when you're ready to go, you're ready to go. Give me the bill.
I hate having to wait for the bill.
Yeah.
In fact, yesterday, because we had a similar service issue here at home, I am in favor of an option at the table. It doesn't have to be the full iPad where you can order and stuff, but I want a button I can push and it prints out the fucking receipt, or I can just pay at the table. I hate having to wait. We got the bill last night. I gave gave her my credit card. She disappears for fucking 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say it was at least 10 minutes.
Yeah, it might have been more than that. But it's like, geez, how long does this...
And then, I know it's busy.
And then it was like, she was apologizing profusely because it wasn't the first time that she had been away for a long time. And, but then oh, I'm really sorry. I had other things to take care of.
That was weird.
And I was like, yeah, you're not supposed to tell your customer that they're not your first priority.
No, no.
We kind of know that, but we don't need to be told it.
Right.
All right. Anyway, service issues. All right. That did not happen at Cafe Hollywood. It was just a little slow.
Yeah.
All right. So moving along, another breakfast stop for us. And I'd been there before, but you had not. So I thought we'd do a full review of this at Paris, Las Vegas, Hex Kitchen. And they were constructing their new Alexa sangria bar while we were there. But that was on the other side of the thing. It didn't bother us while we were dining. We were there on the 26th at 10 a.m. In case anyone's keeping track at home. I had, and I love the name of this for some reason. It just makes me, it amuses me. The meat omelet.
The meat omelet?
I had the meat omelet. It's so vague. Just meat.
Just are there any eggs in there?
Bring me a couple eggs with just meat in them. It can be any meat. Doesn't matter. You had farm fresh eggs. That sounds more appealing than meat omelet. And then we each had an orange juice.
Yeah.
And as always, the orange juices are the like most overpriced thing on the planet in Las Vegas. But what are you going to do?
Right.
They were $6 each. My omelet was $17 and your farm fresh eggs were $14.
My farm fresh eggs were delicious. I thought the food there was really good.
It was good. They came with, and I remember talking about this previously when I had dined there, their breakfast potatoes
are delicious.
They're delicious, but they're the laziest fucking breakfast potatoes on the planet.
Yeah, but they're still good.
They have the little, like, little round potatoes, and they just kind of...
They kind of smash them.
They smash them up a little bit.
With some peppers and some onions.
Kind of half-assed smashing.
But they're nice and crispy.
Yeah.
Like, they've got, like, the crispy onions, and they've got... Yeah.
They could break the potatoes up a little more.
Yeah, but I was happy with them.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
They're good.
They had good toast, good eggs. Like, it was, you got your classic breakfast, but it seemed like it was just a little better than.
A little nicer.
Yeah. I liked
it
a lot.
Would you say?
I would return there.
Would you say that that breakfast was on par with Mon Ami next door? Probably not quite that.
Not quite that good, but it was still good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked mine too. My meat omelet was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I
think it's a solid breakfast option. I agree.
The one criticism we had of the place, we did not, it was a little chilly, so we did not eat outside.
Yeah.
But it's a very wide open space and it gets kind of noisy in there.
Yeah. If there weren't too many people in there at the time.
If it was full, it would be a racket.
If it was full, it would be really loud. It was kind of like the acoustics at Serendipity 3.
Yeah. Restaurants need to do a little more with their acoustics to absorb the sound a little bit. It can be hard to hear, especially for those of us who are half deaf anyway. That's Hex at Paris. I would give that a thumbs up for breakfast as well. I have no idea as far as other meals. We haven't been there for any others, but yeah, maybe it'd be worth trying.
Yeah.
Another Paris location that we tried, not for food, but just for drinks and for the view. Again, one that I had been to before, but you had not, and I wanted to see what your thoughts on it were. Beer Park upstairs.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
We each had one cocktail. You had the Final Four. I had a Sunday Red Eye, which was a variation on a Bloody Mary, but with beer in it. I wouldn't do that again.
No.
I didn't really enjoy it that much. I don't know what I was. I should have just got a regular Bloody Mary. And those were $13 each. The drinks up there are not cheap, necessarily. Oh, $13 isn't bad for a Las Vegas Strip drink, especially when you've got a view. Part of it is you're paying for the atmosphere up there, and you do have a nice view. Tons of TVs, good place to watch sports.
Yep, they bet it's going to be hopping today.
I bet it will. They have a few millennial games if you want to play giant Jenga. I don't know if they have that. I think they do. They have a few different games up there.
Extensive beer selection, as they have a couple, beer park will do.
Yeah, they have a couple bars up there. I think the first one we sat at was not open, so we ended up moving. But the service was decent, and I would try the food. You know, it's like sports bar food, I think. And the stuff I've seen walking by as I'm sitting there typically looks pretty damn good. So I would go up there for a giant plate of nachos or something sometime if you wanted to do that.
The cups were interesting because they looked like red Solo cups, but they were glass.
Yeah, that was weird. I've never seen cups like that before. Yeah, I continue. Beer Park continues to surprise me because I was skeptical that when it opened. Yeah. It's Budweiser themed. I'm like, nah, I don't know. It's just gonna, but it's got such a nice view and you're outside and good for viewing sports. And it's got kind of a buzz going. It's kind of a cool place.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
I would go back.
We went downtown a couple times for some cocktails in Fremont East. And one of the places that you wanted to try, where I had been before, and when I was there previously, I was the only person in this bar. And I thought, it's nothing special. But we went back. Anywhere is going to be better, probably when you're with somebody, especially when I'm with you.
Aww.
But we went to Mike Morey's Sip and Tip, which is the back bar at Downtown Grand. I mean, downtown cocktail room.
No, there is no back bar at Downtown Grand.
There used to be. It was called Mob Bar, and then it closed because they shouldn't have been a back bar. But anyway, Downtown Cocktail Room. You can enter either from Downtown Cocktail Room or, for the more cool speakeasy-like option, go to the alley. And they have a big sign in the alley, so you know where you're going. But if they're open, there's a... They have a big sliding door, and that's open, and you can go in. It's a long, narrow bar.
And there are a few booths along the side. And a few booths
as well. But they also have the Touch Tunes jukebox that you can control from your iPhone.
Which you took
which
over.
Which I always love to do, and I took over. There weren't that many people in the place anyway. But I was playing some monster jams. What'd you think? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it a lot.
I did too. I had a good time there.
Yeah.
We had a few cocktails. We had Dark and Stormy. I think I had that. We each had a rhubarb refresher.
Yeah.
Which was delicious. And you had something called the Orthodox Caveman.
Yes.
They have some of the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I know that one of the drinks normally had gin in it, but we asked her to substitute vodka because not speaking with gin.
I think that was the Orthodox Caveman. They have a few drinks that are carryovers from the previous Downtown Cocktail Room menus on their list. But they have a nice little cocktail menu. Very, very friendly bartender.
Yeah.
And just kind of a neat little low-key place. With that bar, they were going for a more of a kind of working man's bar. Like a little, it's not really a dive, but it's...
No, but it's...
It's very chill in there.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. Yeah. I would go back.
I hope that they are doing enough business. There weren't a ton of people in there. Maybe five or six. But might be a good place to go if you're looking for somewhere you can actually have a conversation because it's not real loud, even with the music. Yeah. I give it a thumbs up. I enjoyed it. So there
you
go.
That was our last stop downtown before we decided to have emergency food at Peppermill.
I think you're right. We went to obviously a lot of things we're not covering that places we've been before. We mentioned briefly Peppermill. We went to Earl Sandwich for the first time in ages.
Yeah, still delicious.
Still delicious, and it's a sandwich. It's
a very good sandwich.
A step above your normal fast food sandwich chain, and when you need emergency sustenance, it's a good option. Of course, we hit the Griffin when we were downtown. We wanted to go to Corduroy, and it was closed whenever we were going to go there.
Did we talk about Hell's Kitchen and who the new mixologist is going to be there?
I don't know if I mentioned that. So one of the things we learned when we were at Downtown Cocktail Room, they've had a bartender there for a long time. He was managing the place named Kevin. I mentioned this on the Facebook group. That's what I'm thinking of, but not on the show. So if you've been in Downtown Cocktail Room in the last few years, you may have had Kevin as your bartender. And really, really great guy. Yeah. He actually was at Oscars briefly as a second gig for a while. But he's no longer at Downtown Cocktail Room, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've hired him away at Hell's Kitchen at Caesar's Palace. So I have high cocktail expectations for that place, knowing that he is over there.
Yes, yes. And we met the new, he called himself the new Kevin.
I think it was Robert.
Is that his name? I can't remember his name, but he's very nice. And he was trying to get... He was still trying to get up and running on...
Yeah, I think he's been a bartender there for a while. Yeah. Just taking over the managerial stuff.
Right.
So our downtown booze fest was delicious and delightful, as always. Anything else? I don't know. I'm sure we might think of things over the next couple of weeks that we observed or saw or did. But I think as far as new stuff, that pretty much covers it, the things we've talked about the last few weeks.
I think so, too.
Despite the beatdown, despite me not being ready to think about going back, it was a wonderful trip. I enjoyed it. I don't have any complaints other than the gambling.
The food and the cocktails are making me a little nostalgic, to be honest.
So maybe we need to focus on thinking about those things and not the gambling aspect. Yeah. And that'll be what draws me in again. It was a good time. I had a
very
great trip.
Good time.
It was a nice Christmas. It was a good getaway.
So
there you go. I didn't pull any calls this week because I knew that we were going to be going long with our wishes and all of our trip stuff. But we'll get caught up on phone calls next week. In the meantime, we have a few people to thank for Karma donations this week, including Greg and Janine. They are heading for Las Vegas today. Hope you have a wonderful time. And they said thank you for all you do. Well, we appreciate your support of the show. Thank you and have a wonderful time. I hope you have a lot of luck and good time.
I hope gambling is nice to you.
Yeah. Richard, a little Karma donation for a long weekend at Aria next weekend. Hoping they might find a little of the cash that I left behind.
Yep.
And so they love the show. Well, thank you very, very much. Appreciate that. And then finally, a Karma donation from Sue, who is staying downtown at the Cal in early to mid-February. Hope you have a wonderful trip, Sue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks to all of our supporters, both on Patreon and through PayPal donations. We do appreciate all of that support. And yeah, that's going to do it for this week. We'll be back most likely next week with another show. Hopefully we won't have anything that I'm irritated by. Although I think sometimes people like when I'm irritated.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
You seem to be in a better mood now.
Yeah. Talking about our trip stuff and our wishes and all that put me in a better mood.
Good.
Yeah. So that's good. Right. 500bymidnight.com is the website. You can send Dear Tim and Michelle questions if you'd like. I think I have a couple of those we should probably get to soon.
Okay.
500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night. We'd love to hear from you at 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, calling. We do appreciate it. We will be back soon. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.